Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 chance.
Fires right-hand side. He got it past Ekholm. Edmonton has to touch back. Here comes the finish. 15 seconds. Joshua muscles it back to the Oiler line. Edmonton tags back. Bouchard fires high. After it is Soucy. Hard rim off the glass. Draisaitl can't clear. He knocks it down. Draisaitl. Ekholm at the horn. Nugent Hopkins shoots wide. And the Canucks hang on to win it 4-3.
That's a suspension.
That's a face by Soucy.
That is a suspension. That's just a cheap, greasy play by Carson Soucy. He should be suspended for that.
Well, a furious finish at Rogers Place as the Edmonton Oilers push to tie it in the final seconds. They cannot. The Canucks win game 3, 4-3, and they lead the best of 7, 2-1. Artur Schielofs, who, quite frankly, two and a half weeks ago was a no-name goaltender, has now made a name for himself as he makes 42 saves. The Oilers outshot the Canucks 22-3 in the third period. They did get a goal with the goalie pulled by Zach Hyman with a minute 16 left. Stuart Skinner continues to have a very subpar series. He was pulled after the second period after allowing 11 goals on 15 shots. Calvin Pickard played the third, only faced three shots on net, stopped them all. So Vancouver wins it. There was that altercation at the end. One of many things we'll talk about here on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. We're live in Studio 99 along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins. Okay, well, Rob, a lot of things to dive into, but I want to go back to the very beginning of this game. And Matthias Ekholm mistakenly thinks there's going to be an icing.
Yep.
And with 10 seconds off the clock, he gets destroyed by Elias Lindholm. He gets up, and then he gets drilled by Dakota Joshua.
Yeah.
And those two guys set the tone for the game. And I know Edmonton scored first, and they had chances in this game. There's no doubt about that. But in my mind, Vancouver said, okay, we're going into hostile territory, and we're going to claim the ice as our own. And that's how they played, especially in the first period.
I agree. It was so loud in the arena that I don't know if Ekholm didn't hear the linesman, didn't hear his partner, didn't hear his goalie, or if nobody said anything at all. It was waved off quite early, but you could see he slowed down, and Lindholm didn't. And then he picks himself back up, and Dakota Joshua didn't. Two huge hits that set the tone. I mean, that's knocking over a mountain twice. So, yeah, the Vancouver Canucks came out hard in this game. They were physical. They were mean. They were good on their specialty teams, and they got a fantastic goaltending display from their goaltender, this young kid who... It's funny, Reed. I know that we got a lot to talk about. Just to start on the goaltending, though, after game one, both goaltenders struggled.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if they would go back to Schielofs. I thought maybe this is Casey DeSmith. But we knew Skinner's going to play again because we've seen Skinner bounce back. Schielofs been the one that has been better in all three games. I know that he lost game two, but it wasn't on his back. He kept his team in it. And then tonight, he stole a game. And if you're going to beat an Oilers team, if you're going to beat a team that's better than you, your goaltender has to steal at least one game. Schielofs did that tonight. This was a game, if they played it 10 times, the Oilers win 7 or 8 times. But Schielofs was excellent. So, and Stuart Skinner, again, goals weren't his fault tonight. There were first couple games, there were some that he'd want back. Tonight, it wasn't that he was beat by goals he should have saved. He didn't save things that were
difficult.
Yeah. I mean, and Schielofs did. Time and time and time again. So We didn't know what this kid was made of in net for the Vancouver Canucks. Well, if anyone was wondering, they got a very good picture of it tonight.
Yeah.
He came into a hostile environment and had an unbelievable hockey game.
Yeah, I'm with you on Skinner, too, just not... good enough. And tonight, yeah, if you looked at any goal individually, I don't think you'd say it's a bad goal, but four went in on 15 shots.
Yep.
Sometimes the save percentage. And as we talked about during the season, every goalie will have a week where they play 880 hockey and might go 1-2 or 2-1 or whatever. But this is the postseason now, so you can't post that number. Or I guess he would have been sub-800 tonight, whatever
well,
that is.
I think he's sub-900 in the playoffs, I believe.
Yep.
Is he not? And this is back-to-back years that's happened. You aren't going to win a lot of hockey games and a lot of series with goaltenders with a below 900 save percentage.
So, and elements of this, now I know we're only, well, there are 2 to 4 games left in this series,
yep.
So whatever. The series isn't done, but I can't help but think back to last year. Skinner didn't have a great series.
Mm-hmm.
Other goalie... Now, Aiden Hill was not maybe the no-name Shiloff's was, but had not been an established goalie. Stole a game or two.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely.
Or had some good stretches. Oilers relying on a small number of guys to provide
yep.
all the offense. And the other team playing, I would say, I don't know, I don't think the Canucks are doing it to the level Vegas is doing it, but playing with more desperation and more gamesmanship.
I believe that. All of those things are true and reminders of what went wrong for the Oilers last year. I mean, in a game tonight that they lost, they had Connor and Leon almost play 30 minutes, and they had Bouchard play 31, and this was not an overtime game. Evan Bouchard was on the ice for over half of the hockey game, and Connor and Leon were on for half. I don't have the stat page, and I'm not sure it would even tell you, but the last shift that Connor and Leon played was probably close to 5 minutes long.
Well, the goalie got pulled with 3:40.
Yeah,
and they were out before that.
Yeah. And they took a 2 second where they came off where they put Skinner back in, and the players were confused on which players should come back on the ice. But yeah, the Vancouver Canucks are getting contributions up and down their lineup. The Oilers right now are looking for contributions from down in their lineup, because right now it's coming from one line. And I don't know about you watching the games, but I'm sitting up there watching. I'm thinking the Canucks, if they survive this shift, then they'll probably have about 3 minutes before they have to survive another shift. You just don't see the other lines right now scaring the Vancouver Canucks that they're going to put the puck in the net.
Yeah, we'll have post-game reaction coming. I'm just seeing that Chris Knobloch has said it's emotional right now. No decision on the goalie for game 4. That'd be something if Pickard was in.
Yeah.
And we'll have to get the Leon tape. Apparently he has said the post is not good goaltending. Which, again, if we started counting posts, the scoring every game ever played in the NHL would be different. So I'm not going to go too far down that path. I mean, yeah, there were some that got past him, but again, the post is wide.
Well, you know what, though? If that's the case, if you're counting posts now, I did have 50 that season.
Oh, you would have probably 58.
Well, I hit a couple posts, so I'm going to go that, and I'm now going to start signing all my autographs with 50 goal scorer after it. So.
Okay, actually, we have Draisaitl in, so let's go to the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop.
With a team 35-7, and do you come out of this thinking that you probably deserve better? Or?
Yeah, probably. Thought we were the better team for the most part. In my eyes, should have resulted in a win, but you know, that's not the way hockey works sometimes. So just regroup and get ready for game 4.
You obviously don't score 5-on-5. You generate a lot, though. Warrants any more guys in front, second, third opportunities. So where does that start?
Yeah, right there. I think we're creating enough looks. But obviously they're not falling right now, or we're not doing a good enough job of, you know, being hard in front and, you know, banging them home.
Pretty big of that first period, that the three goals they got during that stretch. When you look back at it, what do you think caused it?
I mean, a couple of nice plays by them, and you know, they capitalized on their chances.
Dylan, what are they doing? What were they doing maybe through the middle of the ice, or just in terms of trying to, when they were able to hold you guys a little bit back in the first two periods, and then what changed, do you think?
I don't know. They held us back in the second, maybe in the first a little bit, but certainly not in the second and the third. But, you know, they defended well. They're a good defending team, and we got to find ways to, you know, get inside and capitalize.
You guys hit, I think, four or five goal posts tonight. You generated the chances. How much of that is bearing down, or how much of that is just good goaltending or luck?
Well, post is not good goaltending. Yeah, we can certainly do a better job of bearing down and, you know, like I said, capitalizing on our looks.
When in the regular season, when you kind of get goalied, you know, you play the next team another night and you just move on. In the playoffs, you're going to see this guy again. Do you guys need to kind of go to school on this guy a little bit?
I don't think so. I think we got enough guys in here that can put the puck past him. Shown it so far. He's obviously playing well. Made some big stops for them, but yeah, we just gotta, you know, be a little cleaner and you know, look to bear down a little bit more.
Okay, that's Leon Draisaitl after the Oilers lose 4-3 to the Canucks. You know, Rob, he said, "I thought we were the better team tonight." Obviously, the shots were gross.
Yeah,
35-7 in the last two periods.
Yep.
I'm sure Rick Tocchet is thinking, you know, if we were doing a Canucks post-game show, we'd probably be saying, that's awesome. Coach is probably saying, we can't be minus 28 in shots. But I get what Leon is saying, and I get what you're saying 7 or 8 out of 10 times we always win a game like this. But part of the reason the shots were like that and part of the reason the game flowed like that is, again, because the Oilers fell behind. And
good, Jason, yep.
And I know there are comebacks, including in this series, including in Colorado-Dallas. I mean, good teams give up comebacks. But still, you'd sooner have the lead, right? Because something like this might happen, and the Oilers were not good enough early.
Well, but let's go back to one of the biggest problems for the Oilers when they've been knocked out of the playoffs in last year against Vegas and what we saw early in the season. Is the Oilers certainly played well enough to win this hockey game and dominated the second and third period. But they put themselves in a position that they needed 5 goals to win. So scoring 5 goals in the National Hockey League isn't easy. And that goaltender was outstanding for the Vancouver Canucks tonight, but they beat him 3 times. The problem for the Oilers is they gave up 4 in the first half of the hockey game. And that just forced the Oilers to, I mean, they pushed hard. But again, you're asking them to score 5 goals. So, yes, they were the better team in the second half. Yes, some of those chances normally would find the back of the net. But you get goalied, as I think it was Mark Spector that said, you get goalied when you need 5 goals. If the Oilers would have kept the Vancouver Canucks to 2 and they scored 3 goals like they did tonight on their 40-some shots, we wouldn't say the Oilers got goalied. We would say, kind of like last game in Vancouver, the Vancouver Canucks goalie was the better goalie, but the Oilers were the better team and still won the hockey game. The Oilers gave up 4 goals. 2 of them were on big mistakes in their own zone.
Massive mistakes.
Yeah,
while we're criticizing Skinner, we should criticize those mistakes as well. Because Vogel makes a turnover.
Soft play.
Not in
the slot area. Hey, if you may, throw it to the boards. Throw it to the boards, and then you're not in any trouble. But you threw it up the middle of the ice, and it ends up on Brock Besser's stick. He is a pure goal scorer. Connor McDavid chased the puck. And JT Miller said, okay, I'm going to pass it to your guy. And it's Brock Besser who's got all the time in the world. You're hoping Skinner can make a save, but that's like a practice right there where Besser's standing one-on-one with a goaltender with all the time in the world to decide where he's going to shoot. Besser's going to score that most times. It's kind of like Connor getting a breakaway. You hope that the goalie can make a save, but we all know as Connor's going and he's probably going to score. So the big mistakes by the Edmonton Oilers early in the hockey game and the fact that their penalty kill, which was all-world against the LA Kings, got beat for 2 goals tonight. So, yes, the Oilers got goalied, but they also forced themselves to have to score 5 goals because they gave up 4. And I don't care how good you played, you still gave up 4 goals to the Vancouver Canucks on home ice.
All right, 4-3, the Canucks take it. You'll hear from head coach Chris Knobloch when we get back. By the way, $300 donation tonight to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous coming from James H. Brown. Injury lawyers, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. We thank them for donating $100 to Santa's every time the Oilers score. We're live in Studio 99. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
All right, Canucks beat the Oilers 4-3. Dave wins the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Excitement, bet on it. He took the over for Leon Draisaitl's ice time, 22-30. He plays 29-04. So at the end of the game, McDavid and Soucy are behind the net. They slash at each other. Zadorov comes in and cross-checks McDavid in the back. Soucy had already started a cross-check, which I think was probably aimed at the upper chest.
Yeah.
And McDavid is falling, and it goes into the face. Like, when I saw that, I actually thought, oh, Zadorov did the dirty thing. Because he's drilling a guy in the back after the buzzer.
Well, it started with Soucy pushed McDavid. Then Connor two-handed Soucy across the ankle. Then Soucy Soucy slashed him back. And it looked like Connor was coming back towards Soucy. So Soucy put his stick up. And I agree, he was going to cross-check him across the chest. Zadorov came in with a big cross-check from behind, which created Connor McDavid's face meeting the stick of Carson Soucy. You and I are up in the press box. At live speed, it looked really bad. Then they started showing the big kerfuffle, and all of a sudden, Connor McDavid is standing there arguing with Soucy. I'm like, how did he get up?
Yeah.
I was shocked. I thought there was going to be a pool of blood, and he would have been laid out. He got up very, very quickly. The league will have to look at it. It does look bad.
And they did give Soucy a penalty.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minute misconduct. I'm not sure that really affects them much, but they will look at it. And Soucy's a big part of that team. If Soucy were to miss a game, it would be a huge part. But to me, this is a game that, the refs, the calls they're making.
The last two games, it's both
like,
ways.
To me, in the game in Vancouver, Darnell Nurse, the hit from behind on Pettersson, to me that is a hit. That is a penalty, 100%. And then they'll call some ticky-tack hook or a little trip. Tonight in this game, there was the penalty on Darnell Nurse. Now, in the regular season, I know what Darnell's doing. He's punching, cross-checking down on the back of the pants. And it is dangerous because you could twist, the guy twists his knee. But JT Miller absolutely destroyed Matthias Janmark behind the net. Matthias Janmark was nowhere near the puck. Nowhere. That is as interference as you could possibly get. But they don't call that, then they call the Nurse one. And I'm not complaining as an Oiler fan or partisan, because I'm honest when I talk about penalties. And I think there's a lot of times we complain about penalties that the Oilers don't get the calls, when at the end of the night it was fairly even. But on that, some of the ones they weren't calling, call the things that are vicious and dirty and someone can get hurt, and quit calling the silly ones. Quit calling the little where you just give a little hook. And the last two games, there's been these vicious hits that should have been called.
Well,
both ways.
McDavid should have got a 4 minute minor.
And they don't, yeah. It
last
just
game.
Yep.
And I thought, now, I am someone who, if I was running hockey, I would more strictly enforce cross-checking.
Yeah, 100%.
But given the way the game is played and called, that Ian Cole cross-check in the third period, if that was the standard, there would be 200 cross-checking penalties a
game.
That
was terrible,
like,
call.
That's an awful call.
It was horrible, especially the time of the game and what happened. Some of the things that were let go before that, you're like, really? That's the one you're going to call?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's frustrating for a coach. It's frustrating for a player. Like, again,
because Ian Cole's been taught to do that his entire life.
He's coming to the net. I'm just going to not keep him away from the front of the net. So that was a terrible call. And this is where we're like, okay, we're telling you that the call against the Canuck was horrible, but JT Miller, like, it could have been so many calls they made on that one, and you could tell how bad Janmark went. He went at him with his stick over his head trying to get back at him.
And again, I'm just saying this as someone who likes hockey, the hopefully the refereeing improves in this series.
100%.
I don't think it's been playoff caliber for either team. The last
two games. And again, that's not pro-Edmonton. That's pro-Edmonton, pro-Vancouver, because both teams have been affected by very poor calls by the referees in this series.
Okay. Oilers lose 4-3. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
45 shots on goal tonight and 3 goals. Do you attribute more of that to Artur Seelovs or to your shooters?
Well, I think he made some big saves. I also know that I thought we had him beat 3 or 4 times with goalposts, couple pucks laying in the crease, you know, with DR just missing that one. And then the Corey Perry, you know, in my opinion, I thought it was in, but can't prove it. So, you know, I thought we had him beat there. So I think, yes, he did make some save, but I think we're just very close to scoring a few more tonight.
Do you feel like you need more saves out of your goaltender tonight and in this series?
Yes, we need more saves. Tonight, you know, obviously I felt like that with the picks going in the third period. But, defense and along with goaltending, it's very important to winning hockey games, especially in the long term. And, it's got to be better.
Skinner generally is, you know, handles the pressure well and comes out and talks, those sorts of things. Didn't tonight. What's your sense on how he's dealing with the pressure? It doesn't get any greater than it is here in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think, tonight's one that he'd like to have back. And, we'll see what he's got in the future, whether that's game 4 or game 5 or whatever it is. But we'll be seeing Stu again. I have no doubt that he'll respond and play well.
Hey, Chris, over here. It's been 2 games in a row where your team has controlled a lot of the play. Is there anything positive you can take out of that 40 minutes because you guys seem to control a lot of tonight?
Yeah, eventually the pucks are going to start going in a little more. Tonight, you know, with having 3, it's probably most nights is enough to win, especially in the during the playoffs. And, you look at the amount of opportunities we have, we just have to be persistent and continue to push. I feel that we'll get some more breaks.
Hi, Chris. Just to go back to Skinner, are you committing to start him in game 4?
Oh, no, I'm not committing to that or making a decision right now. Obviously, it's very emotional after a loss. We'll get together tomorrow as a staff, and we'll make that decision.
Is there any injury concern with the goaltender, Skinner?
No, there's no injuries.
Okay. I just wonder, you mentioned before the game that there could have been consideration at some point in the game to move Draisaitl to center. You didn't do that. Why? What went into that decision to keep him with McDavid?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with we're chasing. We needed goals. And that line together has been creating so much offense. And, you know, overall, the other lines have been playing pretty well, too. Not maybe scoring, but, you know, controlling play. And I think that's very important is, are you creating the chances? As long as you're creating the chances, you know, eventually they're going to go in. So that's why we continue to go with the lines as they were.
Chris, you mentioned, you know, they're not scoring, they're creating, but at some point you need offense from guys not on your top line. Is there any other combinations you've seen? We saw Fogle and Holloway switch, and then they were together on the line. Is there a combination that you like better in your bottom 3 lines that you might want to ensure starts the next game?
You know, overall tonight, you look at our lineup and how we played, and yes, we'd like some more goals, but just moving guys around doesn't necessarily generate goals. You move around guys and, you know, are they creating chemistry? Are they breaking out? Are they sustaining offensive zone pressure? You know, you look at the last 2 games, I think we've been doing that. I just want to be impatient on pulling the plug on. You know, I see us doing a lot of good things. We are generating some offense. It's just not leading up to the goals. But overall, you know, our 5-on-5 play, I think, is pretty good.
You had 2 goals directly off of, you know, unable to clear giveaway turnovers in this game. You didn't give up a lot, but you had kind of 2 crucial mistakes that led directly to goals. Frustrating at a time like this, and how do you eliminate that? What did you think of your puck management overall for me?
Overall, I think it was great. I think it cost us in a couple situations, but it'd be ridiculous to think that you're going to play 60 minutes of hockey without turning the puck over. And yes, we got a couple goals against because of those turnovers, but overall I thought it was pretty good.
Connor and Leon played almost 30 minutes tonight. Can you sustain that type of workload them over the course of the series, or are you going to have to be cognizant of scaling their minutes down?
Yeah, no, we can't play them 30 minutes every night. You know, it just seemed like every time we had a whistle, they'd been sitting on the bench for a while, and let's go. They, you know, as tired as they were still creating offense and getting some chances. And, you know, our best players have to be our best players, and they have been. And as a coach, you just want to give them that opportunity. And, you know, they've been doing well, but yes, no, we can't be pushing them that much.
Yeah, McDavid played 29-42, four shots on goal, did not get a point tonight. Draisaitl, a goal and an assist, played 29-04, five shots on goal. Hyman, eight shots on goal. Well, they haven't given him that goal. Didn't Hyman score the third goal?
Well, they announced Bouchard, but I haven't heard if they've changed it or not. I'll look on my app and see who they
Yeah, they
it
got
to.
A Bouchard from Ekholm. I thought Hyman put it in. Anyway,
well, unless it had already gone in before
like
he did
26
that.
26 minutes. So, yeah, Oilers lose 4-3. He didn't commit to the goalie for the next game. Is there any chance Pickard plays?
Honestly, I would have said no, but I'm just going through right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 26 goaltenders have played. Stuart Skinner is 21st in save percentage out of 26. Two of the guys behind him are the two LA goaltenders that the Oilers knocked out. So there's only three other goalies. He's got an .877 save percentage. And again,
in this series, it would be
worse.
Well below that.
So it again, I'm not putting the blame at Stuart Skinner's feet. I'm not saying that there's goals in this game he should have saved. But at some point...
Well, it's three games
need,
in a row.
At some point, they need a big save at a big moment, and the Oilers haven't got that. Now, the Oilers, he's not the only one making mistakes, or he's not the... But we've seen in the last two games, especially from Shelofs, making saves that you didn't expect, and that has a huge emotional uplift on your bench when your goaltender all of a sudden that's going in. Oh my God, I can't believe he stopped that.
Yeah.
So the Oilers haven't got that. They haven't had that moment from Stuart Skinner yet. So is Stuart Skinner an automatic for game four? Well, obviously not in the coach's mind right now, because that was given to the media, not asked by the media. He's the one that came out and said he'll be in four or five or at some point.
By the way, I didn't think there was any way they were going to allow the Perry goal. You couldn't see. You have to see the puck.
Well, I know, yeah.
Like if his glove would have been all the way in the net, like the one last series,
yeah,
that's a different story. But in that case,
I think it was the right call,
that.
And there wasn't a lot of argument. I give the credit. I mean, that was a great save because that puck, he was about to catch the puck and it got deflected. He had to readjust and get his arm back just in time. The battle level from that goaltender, that kid, it was unbelievable because there were a number of pucks, and Chris Knobloch talked about it, that were behind him. He never gave up, and he'll do whatever it takes, that including grabbing the stick of the opposition player, whatever it takes to keep that puck out. Shelof was excellent in this game, and he's been excellent in two of the three games the Oilers have played him.
The other game tonight, Panthers were down 2-0. They beat the Bruins 3-2. You could kind of sense that might happen even when it was 2-0 Boston. Shots were 41-18 for the Panthers, so they're up 3-1 in the series. The scoreboard presented by Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com.
And that goes right back to what we've been talking about. The Florida Panthers got goalie. They only had three goals on 42 shots in this game, but they kept the Boston Bruins to two, and they're able to win the game 3-2, where the Edmonton Oilers get three goals on their 45 shots, but they gave up four, so that's why it looks like they got goalied, and the Florida Panthers win 3-2.
Okay, you're going to hear from Warren Fogle. You can check in at 780-496-0063. Canucks lead the series 2-1 after a 4-3 win. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
Besser and Lindholm score twice each. Shelof's 42 saves. Canucks beat the Oilers 4-3 to lead the series 2-1. And we have not said this a lot in the playoffs, but the special team battle Well, I guess it's close, but I suppose you'd give a slight advantage to the Canucks. They were 2-for-3 on the power play. Edmonton 2-for-4 for Conlon Motorsports. They'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. And 2 big kills by Vancouver in the third period.
And I think that's why you give the edge to the Vancouver Canucks, because in a game that ended up being a one-goal game, the Oilers trailing in the third period had 2 full power plays, yep, and the Canucks were able to kill them both off. And it's one of those things, in the third period, when the second one came, I think it was at the 8-minute mark, 8-something, you hate getting a penalty, but I remember being on the bench, it's like, yep, if we kill this off, we're just 2 minutes closer to winning a hockey game. The Canucks sold out time and time again on their penalty kill. They did a good job, got some saves, but yes, massive kills for the Vancouver Canucks in the third period when it looked like you couldn't kill Edmonton Oilers power play when it was important.
All right, we'll go to Sean in the Park on the open line. Sean in the Park, go ahead.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, I love the Oilers, obviously, and disappointing loss, but, you know, I mean, they did a lot of things right, I felt, in this game, but, you know, that swing down 3-1, you know, right off the gate in the first period, that's kind of a backbreaker. They played catch-up.
Yeah.
And, sure, I mean, we've got horses that could come back and tie the game, but so do they. They can score, too, if they need to, right? I mean, that Nashville series, I mean, they played shutdown defense pretty much, and this series, they could have scored more goals. I don't know what you do for game four. I mean, you kind of got to go with Pickard possibly, right, at this point. It's a must-win game. I mean, this series, we knew it was going to take 6-7 games, probably 7 games. And I honestly don't know who's going to win the series. I didn't think beforehand it could go either way. But, you know, we don't want to go down 3-1. And the thing is, it's a tough decision. Do you go with Stewart for game four or do you go with Pickard, right? It's one of those things where, you know, right now it looks like the edge Vancouver has as well in net now, right, for the third stringer, with Shelobs, right? So
yeah,
I don't know what you guys think. I don't know what you think. I'm kind of concerned. I don't know if you guys are concerned or not, but I honestly don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I compared it to last year's series, which they lost, so that's kind of where
It's funny. When we talked before the playoffs, we said in the first 2 rounds, the Oilers are probably, surprisingly, going to have an advantage in net. They certainly did in the first round, as Skinner was better than both Talbot and Riddick. But in this round, where you're thinking, okay, this is a third string. Okay, he had a couple good games against Nashville, but let's be serious. Is he going to be able to do it against an Oilers team when the games get bigger? And in the first game, game one, they won the game, but it was iffy. Game two and game three, he's been excellent. And as for who you start in game four, wow. I mean, I think we've said that things had to have gone terribly wrong if Calvin Pickard plays a game. Well, down 2-1 and an .877 per save percentage is not good. I still think it'll be Skinner, but I completely understand if it's Pickard. The Oilers cannot afford to go down 3-1 in the series. It all of a sudden, it gets very, very important for the Oilers to win a hockey game in game four. Vancouver is good. I imagine you'll see the Oilers' best effort, but tonight's best effort wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, and as we've talked about, and Sean said, he kind of said, I don't know what you do next game. Maybe he meant lineup stuff. But regardless of who plays, there has to be more desperation and physical intensity early in the game.
Yep.
You can control that. I know it's hard, but winning's hard.
Playoffs are hard,
it's supposed
yes.
to be hard. So, and that's what we're saying. Vancouver... And that, like that Joshua, he's like the ultimate third line. I guess that has actually been their second line.
They've been very, yes. The way Patterson's played his line is, yes.
So, you know, but he's like, that's who you want in the playoffs.
But also, I mean, we talk about depth players. So tonight, Connor McDavid and Leon both play 30 minutes, play half the game. In the third period, now you're going to probably have to help me with these. Number 88 for Vancouver, is that Anmark?
Oh, Amon, the guy that went
Amon.
In.
So number 88, Amon, who is his first game in the playoffs. I believe he was in the minors. He killed the penalty. The last minute of the penalty in the third period, he has not been in this series. He killed the penalty. With a minute 30 to go in the game, number 94.
Well, that's the other new guy. Yeah, Linus Karlsson.
Minute 30 to go in a game you're winning by, I don't know if it was there. I think it was just by one at that point. He's on the ice. The Rick Tocchet used all his depth players. There were times where it was a face-off in their own zone, and he sent out their fourth line, not fearful of the Oilers throwing out their first line. What that shows you is Rick Tocchet has more faith and belief in his role players, his bottom six, than the Edmonton Oilers have in theirs.
Right, and that's what I'm referring to. Perhaps not even last year, but losing to Chicago, Winnipeg, Colorado was maybe different because I think they were just
their depth was just better. Yes.
But last year, it's like, okay, well, Leon and Connor are going to play half the game because nobody else scores.
It's a problem.
Now, maybe Leon can center his own line next game. Maybe.
But, and you know what? It only gets harder after this. Dallas is deeper than Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about that yet. But, yeah, Dallas is very good. We got Bob on the line as well. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good, man.
I've been a fan of the Oilers since they were the Alberta Oilers.
Oh, nice.
I think it's time to shake the lineup up. I'm hoping Henrique can lace him up for the next game, and I think it's time to bring Carrick in. He's got a little bit more sandpaper, a little bit more grit. Mm-hmm. I've talked to you guys about this before, Fogle and McLeod and the play that dying on their sticks. And Skinner, he's got to make a save. Enough with the excuses and it's all my fault kind of thing. Stop the puck or let the next guy in.
Well, he's got to make a save for sure. I don't think Fogle and McLeod have done enough.
Nope.
I mean, I'm not going to blame just two guys for being down 2-1 in the series. Yeah, I don't know about I don't know what they're going to do. Carrick, I don't know if they're going to bring him in. What was the other thing you meant? Well, they miss Henrique.
Yeah, they
again,
do.
I'm not saying they win the game if he plays tonight, but they do.
But
they do miss him.
They need him healthy to be playing. He's not good enough on one ankle. He's not Leon. So he's going to have to be healthy to be in. Hopefully he is healthy sooner rather than later. The problem for the Oilers with Carrick, I didn't mind Derek Ryan's game. I liked it. I liked Janmark's game a lot. And those are the guys that would normally... I mean, Connor Brown is a guy. There's your choice. Do you bring Connor Brown out of the lineup and put Carrick in?
Well, I don't know. Did you take Fogle out?
I mean, you look at the guy's got 20-some goal or 20 goals in the regular season. Again, he hasn't been good in the playoffs.
And McLeod is a fast player who, to me, doesn't take the puck to the net, or at least hasn't in the postseason.
Yeah, well, that's something we've been talking about with Ryan McLeod for the last couple of years. He's got the ability. He just needs to go in direct lines to the far post. And you'll get hit every once in a while, but you'll also draw some penalties. You'll create some chaos. He's got to go to the hard areas, but those are just a couple. Corey Perry. They need more to Corey Perry. More out of Evander Kane. More out of RNH at 5-on-5. There's a long list of players that they need more out of. And it's easy to say that because they're down 2-1 in the series.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Whenever the Oilers score 5 or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall. An afternoon celebration for the census. Visit jvedmonton.ca. We got Casey calling in as well. Go ahead, Casey. Do we have Casey? We might not.
Hey, guys.
There we go. Hey, buddy.
Hey. Yeah, a couple here. Another disappointing one goal loss. That's tough. They battle back there, but it's a little too late. Listen, I'm a huge Oilers fan, but I'm starting to notice a couple trends here, and it doesn't seem like anyone in the organization is. Skinner, Nurse, and CeCe, the last 2 years in the playoffs, you look at the analytics, these guys are just getting absolutely caved, okay? We're still in the series. It's not too late, but they got to make a decision here. They got to go with Pickard, and they got to get Stetcher in, because we're looking at the same thing as last year, guys, and I'm not, like, I don't want to be nagging on the team. I think they're playing good enough to win 80% of the series. They've been the better team. But those three guys are causing huge issues for this team. And I don't want to be like an analytic guy like that, but do you think it's time to make a change? Like, it's not too late. Look at Vancouver tonight.
I personally agree that those three players are capable of playing better. I don't know if Stetcher is better than Nurse or CeCe.
He's not. Stetcher's not better than either one of them. Stetcher will not be coming in the lineup unless there's an injury. Pickard, he might start.
He might play.
He might play.
Yeah. No, but I think that's a fair conversation to have. I just don't think... I don't think they would take out... Well, I mean, you'd be taking out CeCe.
No, they're...
For Stetcher. I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Well, actually, I didn't... I mean, this is a game they dominate. I don't know.
Well, Nurse's CC game one was not very good.
No, but tonight I didn't mind their game tonight. But no, they're not coming in, or Stetcher's not coming into the lineup. Although, it's weird. Stetcher, they said, missed a practice in Vancouver. Did they ever say why?
Well, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was a couple days ago. The same practice that Leon didn't, said Leon and Stetcher weren't on the ice, but they never said why. Not that they owe us an explanation, but...
Oh, I don't even remember that, because I was just paying attention to Leon and Henrique.
Well,
that was the
most
one,
people
that
were.
That was the one Henrique skated.
And just sat on the bench during the line rushes.
The fifth line or whatever, yeah.
So...
Okay, 780-496-0063. The Oilers get 45 shots on goal. They lose 4-3. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Draisaitl able to cut one off. Bouchard up the middle, finds McDavid. Through the middle, Draisaitl in on net. Wrist shot, save, Sheloff's. Best of the night.
Wow.
And he's able to sprawl out and control the rebound. Beautiful look by McDavid. With 7:57 left in the second, Draisaitl gets in behind the defense, has a breakaway to tie it. Sheloff's makes the save. That's our save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Shots tonight, 45-18 for the Oilers. 35-7.
Yep. After the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good finish to the game. Unfortunately, you put yourself in a hole that...
36-7 now on the game sheet.
That you're chasing. And it just puts on too much pressure that everything has to go your way. So the Oilers played well, but they didn't play well at the beginning of the game when they fell behind. Yep. That forced a chase mode. And the Vancouver Canucks did everything possible to try and...
And I still give Vancouver credit. I know they got badly outshot, but I still thought it was still desperation, like blocking shots, getting sticks in the way. I mean, Draisaitl had that shot in the final minute. I can't remember who it was. The guy went down on his side or put the knee down and blocked it.
But no, it's funny. In all of this, I mean, the Oilers were... an inch or two away from tying this game. As much as it didn't go their way for most of the night, they score one with, I don't know, minute 40, whatever left, and then they did get two chances in the last 6 seconds. The Canucks could not get the puck out of their zone. They were exhausted. But again, I still go back to Rick Tocchet. He's playing guys that have been in the minors, guys that were healthy scratches in the last 2 minutes of an important hockey game. The Vancouver Canucks getting contributions throughout their lineup. The Oilers need that come game four.
All right, we'll go to Dylan on our hotline. Hey, Dylan, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Dylan. Okay, we'll go to Mitchell. Do we have Mitchell tonight?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, listen, I have two questions, neither of which have to do with the game or even the series, but I really appreciate your guys' expertise, and I just wanted to get your take on it. First, as far as Bennett's tying goal against Boston, other than the Panthers players and Maurice, I really haven't seen any comments which don't the response to what the situation room came up with as being incomprehensible. I mean, forget about goaltender interference. That, you know, he could easily could have been called for a cross check.
The NHL,
your opinion on that?
The NHL did put out a statement saying that they didn't believe that the player getting knocked into the goalie stopped Swayman from making a save. I just watched it on the big screen here at Studio 99. So I hear what you're saying, and I mean, it looked like he got knocked into the goalie, but the NHL came out and said it had no effect on Swayman's ability to make a save. So that's what the NHL said.
Did not prevent Swayman from playing his position in the crease. So that's
right,
what they
said. Yeah, I read that. I just don't know how reasonable.
I actually thought it should have been a goal. You'll probably hate me. I thought it should have been a goal.
Well, no. I'm not a Bruins fan. I'm just curious. The other thing, real quick, and this is even more off tangent. The Capitals have quite a bit of money available. I personally just don't think that Washington, that team right now and for a while perhaps,
is more than sort of a backwater as far as a destination for top talent, and really probably, you know, is only going to serve, you know, players, you know, top players, you know, used to jack up their price with teams they're really interested in. Just curious if you have a, even if you have an opinion on that or not.
Honestly, Mitchell, I appreciate the call. I have not been thinking about the Washington Capitals, especially since they got beat out by the Rangers. I think that they were the Rob signing a truck here. Zamboni.
This is Zamboni.
Model Zamboni. I would just say all I say about the Capitals is good for them for making the playoffs, but they were the, in my mind, Rob, they were the 16th best team in the tournament. I don't know about Washington being a backwater for free agents, but, I mean, they clearly are on the down of their cycle after winning a cup and being competitive.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a great run, but, I mean, their star players, Ovechkin being the first one, he's at the back end of his career. John Carlson, another star of their team, he's at the back end. Oshie's getting older.
They needed Detroit and really Philadelphia to collapse to get in.
Yeah. I honestly think they overachieved this year. I didn't see them as being a playoff team, and they made the playoffs with they wouldn't have made the playoffs in the Western Conference with the points they had. Cool questions, though. I wasn't expecting a capital question or a Bruin Panther.
I'm glad he asked the goalie interference question, because we usually talk about calls in Oilers games. Yeah, I actually thought that was a goal, but he makes a good point, though. My standard of cross-checking, that probably would have been a cross-checking penalty. Is it Gordon up next? Yeah, Gordon's up next on the line. Gordon, thanks for holding, man. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay. We're like, there's Rob is signing model Zambonis for people. That's the point of the weekend that we're at.
Hey, I wish I could get one. I'm calling all the way from Moncton, New Brunswick.
Oh, my goodness. You're up late. What is it, 2:44 or
1:44? 2:44. You guys asked me like last year or the year before what was for breakfast, because I had to call so late because I think we might have went into overtime.
Fair enough.
But you know what? Normally I only call after a win, but tonight I'm going to call after a loss, because we're going to try and change up the luck a little bit here.
Oh, I like
that. You know what?
A lot of people
have talked about Stuart Skinner. They kind of already answered my question. You know what? Did he put Calvin Pickard in because he knew Vancouver wasn't going to push too much in the third? And kind of was he getting him ready maybe for the next game, because he knows Skinner hasn't done too well against Vancouver this year?
That's a good question. It's funny. I'm in a texting group that I go all night long with all my buddies, and I predicted that Calvin Pickard would get zero shots in the third period. And I was almost there. I felt that the Oilers were going to have this great push and that the Canucks were going to sit back. That's a great observation. Is that getting him a little taste of the speed of playoff hockey in case you want to start him in game four? It's a good decision for the coaching staff if that's what he wants. If he says, you know what, Stewart's not good enough, we might need Pickard game four. Well, let's see him in action here. He wasn't busy, but I did not think there would be a chance that Stuart Skinner would not start game four, but the coach was the one that brought it up before anyone asked him the question. So I still think it'll be Skinner, but it would not shock me now if Calvin Pickard got the start.
Yeah. We will make Gordon our fourth star tonight.
Oh, that is great.
Calling from 3 hours away for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer.
Tell him not to get too excited, because he really doesn't get anything. There's nothing.
Besser was picked as the first star. Shelov's the second star. Draisaitl the third star. Besser briefly had a hat trick.
Well, there were a lot of hats.
Yeah. Their hats.
A lot of hats on the ice. There was a huge Canuck contingent right by the glass. They got really good seats, about 14 of them, and they all threw their hat on the ice. But then they took it away. They said, you know what? You're not getting your hats back, and we're taking away that goal from Besser. Besser had a fantastic. He was very good tonight talking.
Yeah, he's a good player. Okay, Canucks win 4-3. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get you in here. Should get you in before 12. You're also going to hear from Warren Fogle. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
All right, it's 10 to midnight. We are the only people left in Studio 99.
Are they
did they lock off the beer taps?
They locked the taps.
So
I did walk over there and I took a glass, but no, they're locked off. I tried breaking
the lock. Have to stop on the way home.
Well, yeah. Troy probably got something in his briefcase back there. I've seen him sometimes sneaking away.
Did you have a problem with Leon saying that? The posts are not good goaltending?
No, and I don't think it was against the goaltender. I think it was against the questioning, you know what, you guys got good goaltending. Well, actually, we hit the post. I mean, that's not good goaltending. That was us hitting a post. So I had no problem with that. He commended the goal. He said he played great, and he has. But I think, and then there was another one where they said, you know, he had an off couple first two periods, and he's like, we were really good in the second period. We had an off first period, but the second and third, we controlled play. Unfortunately for the Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks, when they had their push, they scored three.
Yeah.
And the Edmonton Oilers then were chasing the rest of the night. So I imagine the Oilers will come out better next game, but what we've seen is the Vancouver Canucks, they don't go away. They are a good hockey club, and they have guys that can just jump in the lineup. Two guys came in the lineup tonight and played well for them.
The shot attempts, by the way, so that is shots on goal plus shots that went wide and plus shots that were blocked, 87-33 in favor of the Oilers. So, yeah, usually if you do that, you'll win more often than not. But, again, as we were talking about, there are still reasons the Canucks won this game. It was... Yes, it was Shelofs. Yes, Skinner needs to make saves, but as you said, Rob, two egregious errors by the Oilers in the first period, one clearing the puck and one covering. And quite frankly, I mean, look, McDavid is an awesome player. That's your captain leaving a guy alone in the slot. Too right, like you got to check.
And it was the best goal scorer,
the best player on the other team. Well, best shooter on the other team. Well, I think Miller's their all around best.
Oh, I agree. He's the best goal scorer. He's their best goal scorer.
Besser as a shooter,
and he can shoot. And the Canucks went, was it 66% in the power play? They were 2 for 3, were they not?
And they went 58% on the faceoff circle.
And well, if you go through, like, I know they used the word desperation a lot about the Oilers, or excuse me, about the Canucks game tonight. If you look at the things with hits, with block shots, with face-off percentage, those are all desperation-type plays in the Vancouver Canucks. We're leaders in all three of those tonight.
Yeah. Blocks, well, now again, the Oilers shot more, so Canucks had 23 blocks, the Oilers had 6, so percentage of attempt blocks is close. The hits were 50-30 in favor of Vancouver. And again, Rob, the Oilers are a physical, rough team.
I think they're the bullies of the conference.
But they haven't been the bullies in this series.
No. Again, you could go devil's advocate. Well, they didn't have to be physical in the final 40 minutes because they had the puck.
True.
Which they did.
Early in the game. Like we said, Vancouver established it early.
The 20 seconds into the game, they ran over the Viking.
Rarely gets knocked over.
Twice in a matter of seconds. So the Oilers played good enough to win. But then again, so did the Vancouver Canucks.
All right, we got Jonathan. Jonathan, go ahead, please.
Good almost morning, guys. Watched the game, and I have to say, when Fogle coughed up that puck, I just shook my head. My feeling on Bouchard tonight was he was weak. He couldn't keep the puck in at the blue line. I guess the next thing I would say is I think the Oilers need to go to a 2-1-2 system. They need a two-man forecheck. A couple of times in the third period, they had one guy there, two hanging out in the neutral zone, two defensemen on their own blue line.
But you do realize the Oilers outshot the Canucks 21-3 in the third period, right? So they had all the play. So I don't know, 2-1-1, 1-2-2, whatever you want. The Oilers were in the Vancouver Canucks and the entire third period. I don't think there was anything wrong with their system play in the third at all.
I don't know. I just thought that they were weak overall. But, you know, they say that gridiron is a game of inches. I would argue that the NHL is more of a game of inches because an inch to the left, an inch to the right, or an inch down, and we've got 4 goals.
Yep.
So, yeah, fair. Yeah. So you hope the Oilers keep shooting like that and maybe those go in, but it's still... I just don't like, I mean, if people have listened to us long enough, they'll know I don't like complaining about the refs too much, and I don't like complaining about goalposts too much because
it's a shot that's wide.
Yeah, it's a shot that's ultimately a shot that's wide. But
well, Tom Barrasso used to say when the puck hit the post, it's because that's all they gave him. Like, he didn't have anywhere to shoot at, so he had to shoot to miss me. That's where the post is.
All right, we got Abbas on the line as well. Abbas, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Happy Mother's Day to your mothers.
Well, thank you very much.
I'll tell her while she's listening.
All right. I have to say that I'm glad that it was, you know, like a 4-3 loss. However, I did not like, you know, Bezier, like, you know, like, open, you know, we can't let Bezier and Shelov, you know, take over the game. But I think that the Oilers can bounce back. I think Calvin might start, maybe not. But I think the Oilers can learn from this. I'm glad that it's 2-1, not 3-1. But Oilers have to come back with a strong defense and stop getting ridiculous penalties. But I'm still saying Oilers in 6.
Well, still possible, but
that was my prediction. I predicted 6. I'm not going to change it. The next game is vital. It is. You do not want to put yourself in a position where you're facing elimination 3 straight games, including 2 in Vancouver, because you could run into, as we saw tonight, a goaltender stand on his head. So I would expect the Oilers' best efforts of the series will be 2 nights from now. Well, actually, yep, still 2 nights from now in Game 4, and it needs to be. Because you do not want to fault the Vancouver Canucks are a good hockey club.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and if the Canucks, as we've said, and Ekholm said it, you have to win games. Maybe you shouldn't.
And tonight the Canucks did.
And quite frankly, the Canucks, and I am not using this as a disparaging comment. I am using this to credit them. 5 of their 6 wins, they easily could have lost. Mm-hmm. 2 of them, they should have lost. The late comeback to Nashville and Game 1 of this series. This game they could have lost. The game down 1-0 in the third, they get 2 goals in 12 seconds to turn the tables. And then kind of a 50-50 game in Game 6 against Nashville, they get the big goal with, what was it, 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
Another 2 minutes left. So now I'm not saying, oh, it's fluky. I don't think that at all. Good teams, it's like, it's not an exact comparison, but it's like, okay, well, the best quarterbacks in the NFL also have the most fourth quarter comebacks or the most game-winning or game-tying drives in the fourth quarter. Like, they do it when it's clutch. And right now, to me, the Canucks are doing it when it's clutch. And I don't believe that's luck or a fluke.
Nope.
I believe that is a skill. Maybe it's a mentality as much as it is based on your physical ability, but right now the Canucks have that, and I think that's really important.
Oh, 100%. They've talked about it. Rick Tocchet's talked about it. They have a resiliency about them. And we've seen it in 2 of the 3 games right now in this series. The Oilers need to be better in all aspects of the game. But now, you know what's funny, though, Reed, is we are just about to end our show and not one phone call about the cross check to the face of Connor McDavid tonight.
Well, we talked about it.
You and I talked about it, but no one called in about it. So that just shows you that right now there's more worry about the Oilers being down 2-1.
Well, luckily McDavid seemed okay after. And again, when I saw it live, I thought I couldn't see the Soucy crosscheck. I saw
the Soucy one. I'm like, oh.
I guess maybe because I kind of saw Zadorov coming in and was thinking, oh, is he going to do something? But
you know what, Reed? He did.
He did something.
He
as
did
well.
Something. Yeah. Yes.
All right. We'll go to Tom. Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call and thanks for the good work you guys do. But I'm a little bit upset you already gave away the 4-star because I'm from further away than that other guy.
Well, you could be the 5th star then. We're not. We throw stars out like candy.
Where are you?
In Washington State.
I think Moncton is further than Washington State from Edmonton. But you are in a different
country. Oh, I thought you said 3 hours. Oh, you meant 3 hours in time.
I meant time zone. Yes, because it's... anyway, we appreciate that you're listening. So are you an Oilers fan or Kraken or just like hockey? What's going on?
No, Oilers fan. Grew up in Edmonton.
Okay, cool.
Looking for a Can-Am t-shirt or something. Anyway... wanted to settle a couple of arguments for you guys. After Game 1, you were arguing about, what was it you were arguing about again?
Rob and I?
We never argue.
Yeah.
We
Oh, yeah, on the show. You were arguing about something. I can't remember. And then the second game, you were arguing a bit about the Skinner goal.
Well, we were arguing. We were just debating how it should be played.
I know. I was just going to settle it and say I'm with Rob on the second one about the Skinner goal. And the first one, Reed, you said that they were being too passive, and Rob was disagreeing with you, and I'm with you, Reed. They were too passive.
The Oilers in game
anyway,
one.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Rob
after they got their lead. No. He was arguing against you a little bit.
Oh, was he? Okay. I thought I just asked him about it. But anyway, Rob and I don't, like, even if we're disagreeing, we don't really feel like we've done this long enough.
No, I know.
Anyway, what else is on your mind?
Anyway, it seems to me this is a replay of every year in the playoffs, and it's every coach that the Oilers have had in this last run where this McDavid Draisaitl drug is just so good that they get overplayed and everybody else sits on the bench and gets blamed for not playing well enough. And then the goaltender has a guy wide open in the slot, and if they can't stop it, they're a bum. It just seems to get replayed year after year.
Well, that's what I brought up earlier. I kind of limited most of it to the Vegas series. I think that was a win. Like, again, the Colorado series, that was a team that won the Cup, built to win the Cup at their peak. So I'm not going to say I don't think the Oilers were favored to win that series. But, yeah, this year. But he makes a great point. And we've talked about this a lot, Rob. Do the bottom six not do enough because they don't play enough, or do they not play enough because they don't do enough? Now, having said that, I thought the fourth line was better than the third line.
I agree. I thought Janmark was good in this game. I thought Derek Ryan gave them good minutes in this game. Now, Connor Brown, you didn't notice him as much, but Janmark and Ryan were good. McLeod was quiet. Fogle was quiet. Corey Perry was quiet in this hockey game. So, yes, I agree. I thought the fourth line gave them more juice than the third line did.
Yeah, but I agree, and we'll see where this series goes. If it ends Thursday, I guess it could end, depending on what happens, Thursday, Saturday, or next Monday with a Vancouver win, then, yes, I think we'll be talking about, again, depth, goaltending, some of that type of stuff. And we're talking about playoff. I mean, regular season depth, the Oilers are fine. I mean, that Fogle got to 20. Yep. He has one empty net goal in 8 playoff games.
No,
does Fogle have a grade A scoring chance
in the playoffs? Not that I can think of. No. Outside of the Oilers' top line, there's really not creating anything offensively. So it's they need more, and we're still early in the season or series. We're still in the first half of the series. There's opportunities for players, but
it's 3-1 if you lose the next game.
Game 4 is very, very important now.
Okay, you'll hear from Warren Fogle when we get back. We are in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
Okay, Vancouver Canucks led 3-1 after 1, 4-2 after 2, and they win it 4-3 at Rogers Place. So they lead the series 2-1. Here's Oilers forward Warren Fogle.
Lots of looks for your group tonight and some posts. Overall, what do you think the difference was, though?
Obviously, turn over the pucks. I should know better. Can't beat ourselves there, you know. And unfortunately, I did that, put our team in a bad spot, and then we're kind of chasing the game. But, you know, I thought we created a lot of looks. Power play got us some goals, but can't do that.
He's kind of an unknown goalie, relatively speaking. What have you kind of found out about the type of goaltender he is through this start of this series anyways?
Yeah, he seems to be making the first stop there. You know, I think we need to get more bodies to the net to try to get those second and third efforts. And by doing that, you got to have more guys at the net.
Talked to you this morning about a lot of things the depth guys do, even if they're not scoring goals. A lot of the depth guys played like 7-8 minutes the last couple of nights. Do you need to play more to contribute?
you know, at the end of the day, everyone has a role, and you got to do the make them. You got to be the best of your role, whether how many minutes that is. And at the end of the day, it's about winning. And you know, coach can put out there who he thinks gives him the best chance to win. And but you know, everyone here understands their role, and you know, everyone's got to execute.
Warren, do you think there's just too much from everyone shooting themselves on the foot right now?
I don't know about that. You know, I think at the end of the day, they're beating us on the 5-on-5 scoring, right? That seems to be the difference there. You know, the special teams, you know, usually this time of year, special teams is the difference, but, you know, they have a good power play and good PK too, so they're scoring 5-on-5 goals, and we're not scoring as many.
Controlled a lot of the play in the last 40 minutes there. Not the result you want, obviously, but is there something positive to take away from that last 40?
Yeah, I think when we, you know, pushing pace, playing fast, you know, that's kind of our game. And, you know, you got to give credit to them, too. You know, they played a good shutdown for the last bit, too. And they know their goalie made some good saves.
When you're out shooting them in the last 40 minutes that much, is there some score effect there? Are you sort of suggesting they're sitting back and waiting for you to keep coming? Or is that just you guys dominate them?
You know, obviously when you're down, you're pressing a bit harder, and you know, we got a lot of belief in this room, and you know, guys were close on their chances, and you know, you got to give credit to their goalie. He made some big saves.
All right, that is Warren Fogle as the Oilers lose 4-3 to the Canucks. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting the postgame audio tonight and for working on the story on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. So our next game broadcast is going to be Tuesday, 5:30 face-off show game at 7:30. Once again, Oilers and the Canucks. Thanks to our game day engineer, Troy Bowler. And thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Fork Overtime Open Line. Canucks win it 4-3.